hearty seasonal greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off in Newcastle, England. That's where Manchester City Football Club is bidding to win a record-extending 18th Premier League match in a row this Wednesday evening. Man City will meet the Magpies of Newcastle United, who trail Man City by 37 points in the Premier League standings. Man City's record run has lifted them 12 points ahead of City rival Manchester United, which drew 2-2 with visiting Burnley on Tuesday. Jesse Lingard came off the bench for Man U to score 2 second-half goals and salvage a point. And speaking of records, Harry Kane has set the English Premier League record for goals in a calendar year. Kane raised his total to 39 goals with a hat trick on Tuesday that led Tottenham to a 5-2 victory over Southampton at Wembley Stadium in London. Kane broke the Premier League's previous record of 36, set by fellow Englishman Alan Shearer in 1995. Harry Kane also has scored 57 goals this year for club and country, moving 2 ahead of Lionel Messi of Barcelona and Argentina for the most among players in Europe's major leagues. In Tuesday's other Premier League results, Bournemouth and visiting West Ham played to a 3-3 draw. Host Huddersfield Town and Stoke City played to a 1-1 draw. And let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Stoke's Egyptian midfielder Ramadan Sobhi, who scored his second goal in 4 days. West Brom and Everton played to a scoreless draw. In more EPL results, Watford defeated visiting Leicester City 2-1. Riyad Mahrez, the 2016 African Footballer of the Year from Algeria, gave Leicester a 1-0 lead, heading home a goal in the 37th minute. Malian defender Mola Wagwe equalized for Watford just before halftime, and Leicester's Danish goalkeeper, Kasper Schmeichel, turned a cutback from Abdoulaye Doucouré into his own net on 65 minutes, an own goal to get Watford the win. In two more Premier League results, host Liverpool scored a big 5-0 victory over Swansea City, and Chelsea defeated visiting Brighton 2-0. In more English Premier League news, Manchester City's four-time African Footballer of the Year, Yaya Toure, has ended his international retirement with Ivory Coast. The 34-year-old Toure quit international football in September 2016 with more than 100 caps and the 2015 Africa Cup of Nations title to his name. In a tweet, Yaya Toure wrote, and I quote, "I love my country, and I'm available for national team selection. I want to help the next generation and use my experience to make all Ivorians proud." Yaya Toure joined Manchester City from Barcelona in 2010. He's played in only 3 Premier League matches this season. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, I'll chat with the energetic Andy Edwards about this year's World Championships in Athletics in London. So please keep on the sunny side.
So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side.
Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life.
In international athletics, this year's most important track and field competition took place in August when London staged the IAAF World Championships. In this sunny side of sports highlight for 2017, let's listen in again to a chat I had with the energetic Andy Edwards, our friend who's based in the British capital. And it began with, Andy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Sonny. It's great to be on the sunny side of sports.
Well, Andy, let's start our London 2017 review with a farewell. The last championship appearance for Usain Bolt.
I'm Lightning Bolt. I'm not flash guarding anybody. My name is Lightning Bolt.
Lightning didn't quite strike as usual, did it, Andy?
Well, there were lots of fantastic happenings in this London World Athletics Championships. The farewell of Bolt, well, it's just what, in a way, of course, he wouldn't have wished it like this, but what a story, what an extraordinary story. I think it's fair to say, I mean, you see him get the bronze in the 100 metres and he decided not to run the 200 anyway. This may have been, as I heard one of our host broadcasters, Steve Cram, the great 1500 metre runner who's working for British TV now, saying maybe it was one season too many for the Lightning Bolt. And I think that's fair comment. He's raced sparingly. I was watching a TV documentary, which was fascinating, before the championships about Bolt, following him through not only this year, but in recent years. And it brings home to you how he has had to cope with injuries, as indeed just about every elite athlete has. And it's further praise for him, the way he's come back. And as a youngster, as a teenager, he had some back problems. I remember him when he won a world youth or junior title, and then he, in a sense, disappeared for a couple of years, and he was struggling with major lower back issues. He came back from that. He's got a great coach in Glenn Mills, but he just didn't look quite as sharp as we've been used to seeing. Well, from the Beijing Olympics 2008. I really think he's been the greatest sprinter of all time, even ahead of the Americans, Jesse Owens in 1936 with those four Olympic golds in Berlin, and indeed Carl Lewis with his four Olympic golds, even though they also did the long jump. Usain Bolt has been something without peer. And then we come to the relay, the 4x100, and everybody's hoping for some great farewell on Saturday night. You know, Bolt down the home straight, leading Jamaica to the gold that he's done for a good half dozen years previously. But it wasn't to be. There was some talk afterwards. I think some of the team said, well, we were kept in the holding area in the stadium, down in the bowels, the depths of the stadium, too long. For 45 minutes, it was cold there. That contributed to his hamstring injury or whatever leg injury it was. But I think it was Father Time, actually. Fantastic performer, fantastic all round for the sport in what are not easy days for the sport. It's going to be fascinating what he does next. I don't know whether you've got any ideas, Sonny, about what Usain Bolt's going to do next. But you see from your perspective in your programme on elite performers in every kind of sport, and it can be tough when you step away from the spotlight.
Well, Andy, I know Bolt has made no secret that maybe an action movie role down the road.
I'd definitely be a great action star. I see myself, you know what I mean, like a Jason Bourne.
Well, he certainly has immense charisma, and it does seem natural. You know, the way he's been, well, not fooling around, but relaxed and joking when he goes to, waiting to go to the blocks in a race. I mean, very few people can do that. Yeah, you can do that horse around and come last. But when you break boundaries in athletics, in sprinting, as he's done, I mean, don't forget, he broke Michael Johnson's 200-meter world record, you know, and Michael Johnson, of course, then lost last year in the Olympics to the South African Wade van Niekerk his 400-meter world record. But, you know, Johnson's records were fabulous. And Bolt could do that and maybe clown isn't the right word, but just be himself. Now, of course, can he act outside of that parameter? Who knows? I'm sure there'll be a lot of checkbooks and money offers. It will be interesting because I don't see him necessarily as a coach. A performer, yes. He's joked about football next because we all know he's a Manchester United fan. So, you know, maybe he's going to be in a VIP seating at Man United games. But so it will be a case of him facing some choices.
Andy, the men's 100 meters in London had some controversy with Justin Gatlin of the USA winning the gold last year at the Olympics. Some commentators said Usain Bolt saved the sport by beating Gatlin, who was banned for drugs. What do you make of the current situation?
Well, I think firstly, we have to put Justin Gatlin's situation in the context of these are difficult times for world athletics. We've got Russia as a nation banned, still under suspension by the IAAF. Investigations still ongoing, not only in Russia, but also in the USA. The US Drug Enforcement Agency is still carrying out an investigation into the American coach Alberto Salazar, who guides Mo Farah, among other athletes. So a lot has come out. Justin Gatlin, yes, if you look at the official statistics, he tested twice for performance-enhancing drugs, was banned, and then came back to the sport. I think there is, looking at the first test, it was a case of, I won't say it wasn't a positive test, but it maybe not as serious as the second one. There are others who've come back and competed again because of Gatlin's profile, because last year he was in a race against Usain Bolt. That brought everything to a head. And in fact, the quote you say about he saved the sport was from Steve Cram, who is a tremendous athletics commentator on British TV and a former world champion in the 1500 metres. Yeah, he's someone who speaks from the heart of the sport, but Cram is also a very acute observer. He's not a flag waver as a commentator, and that was his view. Personally, maybe I felt that was a bit extreme. And I did notice, it was quite apparent, the crowd, the fans in London's Olympic Stadium did at times boo Justin Gatlin. I mean, they booed when he won, sometimes around the podium area, and also he was in the US team for the 4x100, the relay. Well, there are others you could boo. But I understand that reaction. And again, if you look on the wide spectrum, you know, performance-enhancing means, drugs, are something which probably concern every major sport and perhaps some minor ones as well.
Andy, the World Championships weren't short of controversy elsewhere. The situation of Caster Semenya of South Africa has again brought the question of gender in women's events to the fore. Your thoughts?
Well, this is an immensely sensitive issue. I think everybody's agreed on that for everybody concerned. Those who, like Caster Semenya, and again, I'm struggling to find the right words. I don't want to use the word accused, but at the center of this controversy. At the same time, there are women running at elite level. And if I take the example of a British runner, Lindsay Sharp, in the Olympic 800 meter final last year in Rio, afterwards seeing her on interviews in the mix zone, she was distraught. And she was, if I summarize what she was saying, she felt the races weren't fair because she felt she and others were competing against some other athletes, women athletes, who had a higher than average testosterone level. And in fact, in her view, I'll make a sort of summary, not exact words, but kind of, you know, it's not just women in these races. Now, what is happening is the Court of Arbitration for Sport, CAS, is currently reviewing new evidence from the IAAF, the world governing body for athletics, concerning what advantages can be gained by women with a naturally, and I stress that word, naturally high testosterone level. So we await the outcome of that survey. And of course, one's immensely sympathetic to any woman who feels that, well, she's been targeted, or is, perhaps a better expression is, the subject of this discussion. What is without doubt is that Semenya was supreme in the 800 metres in London's World Championships, as she's been for the past 2 years. I mean, it's September 2015, almost 2 years, or just about 2 years, since she last lost an 800-metre track race. And before that, in London, she got the bronze in the 1500. So she's a great runner. But has others have said, for example, Dr. Joanne Harper, who's transgender herself, supports the IAAF position in the this aspect of naturally high testosterone levels needs to be looked at and something needs to be done. And as I say, Dr. Harper is transgender herself, and she's talked about the case of the Indian sprinter, Duti Chand, who was withdrawn from their national team before the 2014 Commonwealth Games. So it's immensely sensitive, and I mean, I don't envy anybody who's trying to find a solution, but clearly this question will not go away.
When we talk of farewells, Andy, it wasn't just Usain Bolt, but also Mo Farah. How does he rank among the greats of long-distance running?
Well, I think in this modern age with TV, video, all the kind of media, social media, sometimes people can look back 5 years, 10 years, and really when we're talking about all-time greats or who is the greatest, you really have to go back now. It's coming up to about 100 years. So certainly, Mo Farah, his achievements, well, he won the 10,000 metres in London. That was a bruising race. He had to show that he was tough in terms of making sure he had a clear run, and then didn't quite have enough in the 5,000, beaten. He had to settle for silver behind Ethiopia's Mukhtar Edris. Now, Farah, day in, day out, would reckon he would beat Edris, but this was not to be. I think a bit like Usain Bolt, maybe Mo Farah, this was and is his last track season before he concentrates completely on the marathon. It showed. I mean, still a wonderful performer, but it showed. When I think back, as you know, Sonny, I live in North London. It's close to Hampstead Heath, where there are lots of cross-country races. And I remember years ago seeing the young, and he must have been a schoolboy, Mo Farah, run in a cross-country race on the Heath. And it's a very hilly course, and sometimes if you're new to the course, you might go the wrong way. And he was in the lead, and he went the wrong way. And the officials were waving him back to come back. And of course, he won. Now, I didn't. No, I was looking at one of the all-time greats when I saw him as a schoolboy. And in 2009, when he was in the final of the 10,000 metres in Berlin, he did well, but he wasn't among the medals. And I thought that was a tremendous performance. What he's done since from, shall we say, 2011 onwards, he got a gold and silver, the world champs. Then in London 2012, he got that Olympic double, 5 and 10,000 metres. And that set everything off on fantastic performances, 10 gold medals included. I thought, where's this come from? Now, Mo Farah and his coach Alberto Salazar would say the move to the USA, he got all the details of training preparation right, and he learnt from before he moved from staying in a house with Kenyan runners, high quality Kenyan runners in southwest London, in Teddington, living and training with them. He learnt about discipline and rest and how hard training had to be. He's achieved greatness alongside Lasse Virran, who won a double, Olympic double, 5 and 10 from Finland in 1972, and then 76 again, and another great Finn in the 1920s, Paavo Nurmi. Then you come to more modern day, Haile Gebrselassie.
Hello, this is Haile Gebrselassie. You are listening to The Sunny Side of Sport on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
His success on the track, beating Paul Tergat, and then, of course, Kenenisa Bekele. And both Haile and Kenenisa have since switched to the marathon. Haile broke the world marathon record. Kenenisa, if he stays injury-free, looks as if he could. I think, to really sum it up, Mo Farah isn't quite, I would say, yet at the level of Haile Gebrselassie and Kenenisa Bekele, especially Haile, because they both have moved to the marathon. Haile broke the world record, although he never ran a championship marathon. So that's one, if you put it in inverted commas, strike against Haile, nor has Kenenisa. Kenenisa may still have time to run a championship marathon. So we'll see what Mo Farah has done, or will do rather, in the marathon. He ran 2 hours 8 minutes on his debut in London in 2014. That was good, not as good as some people expected. But both Haile Kenenisa and Paul Tergat of Kenya have said most people, even people as good as they are, have to serve a marathon apprenticeship. It may be Mo Farah has to serve that apprenticeship.
That's the energetic Andy Edwards. And Andy was speaking from London. And that interview originally aired on the Sunny Side of Sports in August, just after the World Championships in athletics.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out my Sunny Side of Sports blog. The address is blogs.voanews.com/sunny. Once again, that address, blogs.voanews.com/sunny. In my latest blog post, I salute my former VOA colleague, Andrew Palcheski, who officially said goodbye to the Voice of America on December 22nd. Andrew worked on several different shows here at the VOA, but I think he had a special place in his heart for the Sunny Side of Sports.
Today is my last day with the Sunny Side of Sports and the Voice of America. I'll be starting a new job in the new year, and so since this is my last show before I leave, I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you to all of you out there who have listened to my social media reports and as I've filled in for Sunny. Working on the Sunny Side of Sports has truly been one of the highlights of my time here at the Voice of America, and I will always remember it fondly.
Andrew says he'll also remember fondly the feedback he received from our VOA listeners to his social media reports. And on that note, let's sample a few messages from our loyal VOA listeners in Africa. Magnus Chisholm Onwadiwe, the humble apostle of the Sunny Side of Sports, writes from Owerri, Nigeria. Wow, a big salute to Andrew. I really enjoyed his social media trends reports. He will be greatly missed. Always spicing things up with laughter and smiles. I wish him the very best in his new job, writes Magnus. Martins Abraham, a.k.a. Ghana Boy, writes from Kafora Dua, Ghana. And Ghana Boy says, and I quote, "Yes, we're going to miss Andrew a lot due to his quality understanding and experience of broadcasting as a whole. Keep it on, Andrew. I wish you well." Finally, American swimmer Katie Ledecky has been named the Associated Press Female Athlete of the Year. The 20-year-old Ledecky won 5 gold medals and a silver at the World Championships in Hungary in July. That gave her more world titles than any other female swimmer in Hungary. This Associated Press Award is voted on by U.S. editors and news directors, and it's very much tilted toward American athletes. In fact, for the Associated Press Male Athlete of the Year Award, we have to go back to 1987 when Canadian sprinter Ben Johnson won the prize to find a non-American. And that wraps up the December 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Ellison. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In announcing the national security strategy for the United States under his administration, President Donald Trump emphasized renewed American leadership and renewed American strength. That leadership and strength will now be based on what he calls principled realism.
We face rogue regimes that threaten the United States and our allies. We face terrorist organizations, transnational criminal networks, and others who spread violence and evil around the globe. We also face rival powers, Russia and China, that seek to challenge American influence, values, and wealth. We will attempt to build a great partnership with those and other countries, but in a manner that always protects our national interest.
To succeed, said President Trump, the United States must integrate every dimension of our national strength, and we must compete with every instrument of our national power. The new strategy advances four vital national interests. The first is the protection of the American people, homeland, and way of life. That means securing America's border, including by constructing a wall on the southern border and ending chain migration.
In addition, our strategy calls for us to confront, discredit and defeat radical Islamic terrorism and ideology, and to prevent it from spreading into the United States. And we will develop new ways to counter those who use new domains such as cyber and social media to attack our nation or threaten our society.
The second vital national interest is promoting American prosperity. Economic vitality, growth, and prosperity are absolutely necessary for American power and influence abroad, President Trump said. That is why he is removing regulations that stifle business, championing tax cuts, promoting free and fair trade policy, and unleashing American energy. The third pillar of the strategy is preserving peace through strength, including by rebuilding and modernizing America's military. We recognize, Mr. Trump said, that weakness is the surest path to conflict, and unrivaled power is the most certain means of defense. Finally, the United States will seek to advance American influence in the world by forging strong alliances based on cooperation and reciprocity. And, while not imposing America's way of life on anyone, by championing American values without apology. With every decision and every action, said President Trump, the United States is rebuilding our nation, our confidence, and our standing in the world.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali. Join me on Straight Talk Africa every Wednesday as we discuss topics of special interest to Africans, including politics, economic development, press freedom, health, social issues, and conflict resolution. Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Dante, AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this, whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.